It helps if I unmute myself. Thank you. What I said before, it was so insightful. I hope that the time was well spent, whatever that means for you. I want to apologize. I think my internet was breaking up before, and if it's wonky, I do apologize. We were trying to do what we could, so hopefully it will stay strong. Fingers crossed for that. And if it does get wonky, just ask that the frustration or irritation that arises in response just to kind of, yes, this too, right? May we practice with it. And except please, I ask for your forgiveness for the wonky internet, but such is our world. So I want to invite us to move into the sit and just invite you to close your eyes. Again, just checking in, how's the body? Feeling into the sits bones, noting wherever the body is resting upon the earth, those points of contact as a way of connecting into the energies of the earth. As Jack, I don't know if he still says it, but he used to say, so we take our seats halfway between heaven and earth, and just allowing ourselves in these initial moments to connect into the earth's energies. Steady, grounded, fertile, and also connecting into the energies of the heavens, spacious, allowing. We sit right in the middle and allowing ourselves, giving ourselves permission to connect into both, taking our place here as daughters of the Buddha, sitting in circle. I like to believe that women have always been doing the necessity of our being able to come together. For the anchor this morning, I want to invite us to stay in the body. Now, offer working with the earth element. I find this is, as many of you know, this is a primary practice of mine as a sort of doorway out of the mind that wants to plan and think and worry into the bones. And a place of equanimity as I experience it. So again, connecting into the earth's energies, allowing ourselves to rest upon this earth, and allowing ourselves to rest in the bones, in the skeletal form, the skull, the jawbone, the bones of the neck, the vertebrae, the collarbone, the rib cage, the pelvic bowl, the long bones in the arm and the legs, the small dexterous bones in the hands and the feet. Can you allow yourself to rest in this skeletal form, this bone, these bones, this earth element? Holding in your mind's eye, if it's helpful, an image of mountains or a hillside or rocks or trees, a visual of the earth element as a reminder, oh, right, as it is externally, the mountain that's unshaken fundamentally by the winds that blow, so too can this body, when we inhabit the bones, is unshakable by the worldly winds of pain and pleasure, gain and loss, fame and disrepute, grief, joy, all of it, the whole catastrophe. Yeah. Can we almost align ourselves with the relative stillness of these bones of ours? As a place of rest. The mind does what it does, and we direct the attention. No, wait, come back here. And maybe it's, if your hand is resting on your thigh, perhaps, bone to bone, the hand, bones of the hand resting upon the thigh bone. resting attention on the sits bones. If your hands are holding each other, bone to bones. Again, these words of resting on earth, resting in the bones. Dropping out of the head, disengaging from the seductive or repetitive thinking thoughts. Back in, oh wait, rest here. And even as I have my hand on my chest, it's like, oh, there are all these bones, like the collarbone, the bones of my hand, just to rest the attention there. Oh, okay. Holding in my mind's eye. A picture of our local mountain, Mount Tam. Whatever might be a beautiful image to hold in your mind of the earth element close to you, either geographically close, physically close, or just close in the heart. So aligning ourselves with that which is beautiful and natural. Again, so it is externally the relative stillness of hillsides and mountains and rocks. So it is internally this grounded, steady. Expression of stillness in this human form. And please remember, there's no such thing as a bad sit. We come, we take our seats, we see how we are. And if this anchor is helpful, we keep redirecting the attention back into, oh, can I rest in these bones? Beautiful, sit together. And I will be fully transparent. As I mentioned earlier, I am sitting with such a tender heart in this sit. I would, after through this sit, realize like it's not tender, it is broken. So just asking for your gentleness, because it also be a sort of a tender talk, born out of the events in Buffalo over the weekend, the shooting of 10 Black bodies that were killed. I think 3 were injured. And this class has had, Gwen and Allison and others who have been there when we were back on the land and back in the day, these have these mass shootings, and we light candles for all the victims, like in Dallas and Parkland and Orlando and Vegas and on, and we'd light these candles for all the victims of those who'd been shot. And in the early days, we thought that it would maybe stop, and they don't. And some of you know this, but the ones that are most dear to my heart, but Boulder last year, I lived there on and off for years, and the supermarket I used to go to, there was a shooting there. And then the shooting at the synagogue in Pittsburgh, that's my backyard. That's where I grew up. Those families. I know those families. And on that particular day, and some of you were with me right after that shooting, I was in Pittsburgh at my father's funeral, and we were in the mass when all the sirens went by. So this is tough for me in sitting with this way that in America, and we seem to be exporting this, not that it's new to this time, but this capacity of humans to turn on each other because of skin color or sexual orientation or gender identification. It's just hate. And it's, we were speaking last week of wise intention and misguided to kill people on the massive level and the wars around the world, on the more personal levels and neighborhoods. My family, my mother's British, my father's of Irish descent. When my mother married my father, her family's like, we're never going to talk to you. Because she married a person of Irish descent. And I spent about a week riding my bike in Belfast in the days of Ireland and the Troubles. And there were guns and helicopters everywhere. I mean, Protestants and Catholics, y'all, really? I mean, we can look around the world and Rwanda, this way that we turn civil war in America, brothers and sisters against each other, for what? Because the mind is so clouded by delusion. Somehow, if I hate you, I'm going to feel better. Really? There's a story, Jack tells it a lot, of Mahagosananda, who's sort of the Dalai Lama of Cambodia. And back in the day of the killing fields in Cambodia, when the war had quieted, and he was trying to help heal his country. And he would walk through the killing fields and singing the metta prayers, and people who weren't allowed to practice, they would have been killed, it would follow him, and they would walk through the killing fields chanting the metta prayers, may be happy. Hatred never ceases through hatred, but by love alone is cured, is healed. And we've lost this thread. And Carlisa and I were speaking before of what happens when we have leaders, and whether it's political leaders or perhaps more dangerously leaders of social media and news, fomenting hate as if it's okay. Right? And again, and this practice is so deeply relational, and it can seem like it's me sitting in a room by myself, obsessing about my mind individually, because it can seem so like it's isolated. But the Buddha's like, no, it's relational. How do we relate to ourselves? How do we relate to each other such that we can relate to each other from a wise place, a place of clear seeing that has been cleared away of these defilements of greed, hatred, and delusion? Because, oh my God, so much harm is being caused by these obscurations of what is our true nature of a clear mind that can see things as they are, not through the lens of not just greed, hate, and delusion, but the our own narratives of what happened to me and this, and through my conditioning, I see the world this way. And again, what is such an astonishingly deep refuge for me of these teachings, it's like, sweet, how to clear away that which gets in the way of being able to see that what is true. How do we clear the mind? How do we renounce that which no longer serves us? This deluded thinking that if I hate someone, I'm somehow going to be better. If I kill someone, I don't even know how that logic goes. But it's this necessity of being able to commit ourselves to, where is that in me? And how can I work to kind of keep clearing that which gets in my way of being able to show up? And the heartbreak that I feel, of course, for the victims of the shootings in Buffalo, or the family in Laguna Woods, or we could go through this, and since May 11th, not quite, a little bit over a week in the States, here a mass shooting is defined as 4 or more people are injured or shot. There have been 12 mass shootings in 9 days here in the States. How do we remember, keep remembering in the face of the news some of which is so painful, how do we stay connected to our vitality, to our capacity to love without just wanting to shut down and give up into despair? And that's going to happen, right? We ride those waves, the waves of grief and despair. Okay. And that's not all, right? It's not all of us. It's not all of our experience. It's the horrendousness of things that are happening in the news, which I will not continue to list. But it's like, how do we find our seat in the middle of all this to be able to sit with, yes, there is all of that, and the sunrise, the sunset, the sound of the birds, you know, the relative health that we enjoy, that we have the capacity to love, that we can be here together. It's astonishing. From all different parts of the world, we can come and we can sit and we can be here together. It's amazing. How do we also hold the spaciousness that all of it, it's all, again, as I said before, the 10,000 joys, the 10,000 sorrows, this whole catastrophe of this life has so much beauty in addition to so much sorrow. How do we cultivate a sense of spaciousness to be able to hold it all and be able to know sometimes we can't? Scans too much. Okay. And being able to hold the fact that, okay, sometimes it's just too much. And we cry. I cry the whole sit. Okay. Right. It's just holding that spaciousness of, yeah, this is how it is right now. And may it be so. May my heart stay open and tender enough. Those are the blessings of this practice. Yes, this too. It's not the totality of the experience. And how do we allow our response, the heart's response? Someone had written in the chat the outrage they feel about these shootings. Okay, how do we allow that to keep tenderizing the heart, to open it, and then be able to find the skillful action, whatever that might be, whether it's protesting or letter writing or just prayers. Prayers for peace. Prayers to somehow may the bomb that can soothe this hatred that's being fomented, particularly in these young white boys, may there be some ease that comes in the world. And the way that ease can be generated is through our actions. One, not putting more hatred out in the world. Plenty of that. But by showing up in those momentary acts of kindness with others, I'm such a believer that it's sort of those are the drops that can fill the bowl or whatever image we want to use. You know, a teardrop will fill the ocean with enough of them. So how to be able to keep practicing and abiding in the Brahma Viharas, these divine abodes, as a refuge. Oh yeah, loving kindness. May you be happy and peaceful and healthy. May you be strong in your body. May your goodness protect you. And compassion. Oh, I feel this quivering of my heart. May you and I be held in the arms of compassion. Mudita. I delight in your good fortune. May your good fortune, however that is expressed, may it continue and grow. And the crown jewel of the Brahma Vihara is the equanimity, upekkha. May I sit down in the middle of all of this with peace and balance and ease. Astonishing teachings, right? If nothing else that we learn from Buddhism, may we learn to drop into these, again, astonishing capacity of the heart to meet what comes with loving kindness and compassion, joy and equanimity. And we know so well that rage and despair and sorrow, they're going to come too. Sometimes the house is very full. Right. But being able again to take up a residence in these divine abodes of the heart. A lot of poems bookmarked here. Yeah. Naming the waves. Allison Prine, Carlita, sorry, this didn't make it on the list. Naming the waves. Above the harbor, these clouds refuse to be described except in the language with which they describe themselves. I stand here in the morning stillness, which is, of course, not a stillness. The sky is spreading open in the east with amber light while drifting away to the west. Here I can sense how the world spins us precisely in its undetectable turn, somehow both towards and away. The blue of the harbor holds the sky in its calm gaze. This is a love poem. Be patient. Between you and me, nothing leaves. Everything gathers. I will name for you each wave rolling up on the harbor sand. This is the first breath of sleep. This is the cloth of your mother's dress. This, the cadence of our long conversation. I want to show how everything on this harbor has been broken. Shells, glass, rust, bones, and rock. Crushed into this expanse of glittering sand. Immune to ruin. Now rocking in the slow exhale of the tide. That's us, right? Broken. Crushed and yet turned into fine, beautiful grains of sand. Now rocking, immune to ruin. In the slow exhale of the tides and how we need so desperately to learn to ride these waves. The despair, the sorrow, the joy, the grief. Yep. This is this human realm. This is this experience. This is how it is in 2022. It has probably always been thus. It's just like this. Yeah. So how can we orient ourselves with skillfulness, with discernment? How much news is too much? Probably most, right? How much love is too much? Probably never. How much beauty is too much? How do we find beauty? Being able as a daily practice to pay attention. What's beautiful? Music, flowers, laughter, birds, whatever it is, pay attention. Right, track it in the morning, waking up intending, may I look for what's beautiful. What's ugly will be demonstrated. We don't need to look for that. Right, there's plenty of that. How do we orient and intend in the mind to look for that? Where is the kindness? Where is the beauty? As a daily practice to help us survive, to remember, oh yeah, this tender, kind heart of mine. Sorry, I thought I had marked these better. This one. By Stella Nusanovich, Everyday Grace. It can still happen like this, meeting at the market, buying tires amid the smell of rubber, the grating sound of jackhammers and drills. Anywhere we share stories and grace flows between us. The tire center waiting room becomes a healing place. As one speaks of one's husband's heart valve replacement, bed sores from complications. A man speaks of multiple surgeries, notes his false appearance as strong and healthy. I share my sister's death from breast cancer. Her youngest, only 7, a woman rises, gives her name, Mrs. Henry, then takes my hand. Suddenly an ordinary day becomes holy ground, right? It does not take much. The offering of a hand, the listening, the creating of space that stories can be shared. We are a narrative species. We live in stories. We tell our stories. We are sometimes bound and constricted by those stories, which is where the insight can be helpful to identify what's skillful, what's not, what's serving, what's not. But we do need to tell our stories. These stories do need to be heard. The incredible healing that can come. And from what I understand from so many of these young men who are doing these shootings, they're so isolated and therefore so susceptible for our own selves and the own need that we have to remember. It's so important to stay connected. Connected to other humans, but also connected to other beings. I was reading back to the Mahagosananda when they were moving through the forest. He and his monks ordained the trees of the forest to be the elders to protect. So how do we ally ourselves with a natural world that is offering itself to us? If we can slow down enough to pay attention, what's beautiful? Where? Who are my allies beyond the human form? I know. You can do one more poem and then do an exercise. Nope, that's the wrong one. Okay. I'm about to ask you to close your eyes. And just to check in, it's a lot of words there. How are you doing? And I know for myself, sort of sitting with this broken, tender heart. And with it in this movement of waves, how to make space for that which is beautiful. So I'll ask a question, what do you love? What do you love? And notice what comes, what answers might pop up like daisies. To borrow from the movie Mulan. What do you love? And go big. The colors of the sunrise, colors of the sunset, particular type of music or poetry, again, laughter. More cool breeze on a hot day. Certain smells. What smells do you love? If you think of places that you love, what do they smell like? Maybe your grandmother's house, your child's sleeping forehead. The smell of the forest, the beach, the river, a mountain creek. Allowing the answers to what do you love to come through all the sense doors. What do you love to taste? The freshest of strawberries. What do you love to touch? What do you love to be wrapped up in? What do you love to hold? Someone's hand, a cup of tea, perfectly polished stone. What do you love to think about? What brings you joy what thoughts bring you joy? What thoughts bring you joy? What sounds do you love? And again, letting these, whatever answers come in response to the six sense doors, thoughts, tastes, smell, touch, sight, sound. What's a beautiful sight? And just again, letting all the answers come, filling your room as you would perhaps filling your room with flowers. Most certainly filling the basket that may sit beside you, such that when the news of the day tips you into despair, you can reach in with your hand to pull out, yes, and I love this, and this, and this. These times call for us to be warriors of the heart, to allow our heart to stay open enough to be broken, to be tenderized, and to become, oh, so much stronger. And we do this together. We cannot do it alone. So I'm going to stop there. I thank you so much for your kind attention.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.